I'd like to call to order the October 20th, 2016, meeting of the Tiburon Design Review Board. We will start with roll call.
Chair Kryczanski?
Here.
Vice Chair Emerson?
Here.
Board Member Tolini?
Here.
And Board Members Chong and Cousins are absent.
All right, now it's time for what they call oral communications. That's a time, if there's anybody in the audience that wants to speak to something that's not on the agenda, we can listen to it, we can't act on anything, but now is the time for that. All right, seeing none, staff briefing.
We have nothing at this time.
All right, well, we'll start the public hearing. Just a little order of business that the applicant has up to 20 minutes to present their proposal. And following that, we'll open it up to public comments, where we ask you to keep your comments to 3 minutes or less, and be known that late mail that comes in has been emailed to us, so we have read the mail that's come in. And then the applicant will have time to address any of the issues that were brought up, and then we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board. So we'll start with 8 Apollo Road.
My name is Cedric Barringer, owner and designer of the residence at 8 Apollo Road. I'm a Tiburon resident and I've called the Bay Area home for almost 20 years. So I just go left and right? Or do I go towards the... So you guys are familiar with the overall design by now, but in general, the design remains unchanged from in its general statistics from previously. Remains 2,500 square feet total footprint, 2,125 square feet of living space, and 375 square feet of unconditioned garage. The footprint represents 35.7% of the lot, well within what has been approved by this board in the neighborhood. The FAR of the design stands at 30.4%, lower than the allowable 35. I'll just walk through the key changes from previously. This is the same rendering as I showed you guys before. You could see the taller volume in the back, which is my main point of reduction. On the site plan itself, the other, and I'll point it out on the floor plan, but the tall volume I shifted back to the side yard setback in lowering the roof height. So, on the floor plan, nothing has been changed in the whole front of the house. Just this volume here has been shifted about 18 inches towards the west property line. The key change is the roof height itself along the west property line here has been lowered to match the eaves 11'10" that kind of surround the property. And at the taller point of the of that volume, it remains at 13'10". As you can see from the front elevation, it's been that the side property line eave here has been lowered to match the other eaves. As a reminder, that whole volume is set back about 60 feet from the street. So it is, the tallest one is still lower than the existing ridge by 8 inches. The west elevation, there's just a kind of a rendering of the front kind of remains unchanged except for that the volume, as you can see, now has a sloped roof, a shed roof. The west elevation has, because of that lower roof, has eliminated essentially all windows above 8 feet. So there had been glazing, there had been transom, fixed transoms above this door, above this kitchen window, and then there had been a series of three high transoms above, kind of in the living room area. So that reduced the glazing on the west elevation from 75 to 47 square feet, about 38% reduction. The south elevation, again, because of the main shift of the roof here, the transoms were eliminated above those French doors. So now they all match at 8 foot height. The overall glazing reduction along the south elevation reduced from 98 to 73 square feet, a 25% reduction. Here's just the rendering just showing kind of the reductions along here and here. And likewise here, this is the south elevation. I did also reduce the windows. This is the master suite here. Those windows also got reduced down to 8 feet just to keep it consistent all the way around. So the east elevation, so facing 10 Apollo, the two three-panel multi-slide doors are now designed to be 8 foot tall doors to kind of keep that consistency around the whole project with fixed transom windows above. The top of the transoms are 11 feet above the finished floor, which are about 11 foot 9 above grade. This, because of the fixed element above the doors, it actually does reduce the square footage of glazing about 16% from 204 to 172 square feet. And as a comparison point, my neighbors at 12 Apollo's living room transoms above in the taller volume start at 11 foot 6 and go up to about 14 foot 6, just as a comparison point. Section. Just because this is the technical drawing from 12 Apollo, and I thought it was worth at least pointing out. So this is 10 foot 6 ceiling. So those transoms go from about 11 foot 6 to 14 foot 6 here. 15 foot 5 is the top of the eave there. Again, this is 12 Apollo. Notable, as I'll talk a little further on about the landscape changes, but they actually do not have any high screening along that back fence line. So the main landscape landscape feature. Obviously, since we had discussed last time about the light and privacy issues, so I planted a row of Podocarpus griciliar hedge, commonly known as fern pine. This is the master bedroom volume here, and the hedge goes essentially from the point between my neighbor at 10 Apollo and myself, all the way along this property line, kind of creating this outdoor room, so to speak. My aim there, so it's obviously a privacy, but it's a fast-growing, thick-screening hedge. It can grow as tall as 15 feet if allowed. I would kind of endeavor to work with my neighbors at 10 Apollo to keep them trimmed at a mutually desired height, likely in the 8 to 10 foot range. And I'll buy as close to fully mature plants as I can get and plant them as early and as reasonable in the construction process. So here's the Podocarpus griseolia hedge. So they're really pretty thick and like I said, can grow quite high. This is just a rendering showing the difference between, this is a 6 foot fence, and then 6 foot fence with the 8 foot six hedge, just to kind of give an illustration of the possible screening. And obviously that's 8 foot six, it could go much higher if desired. And here, this is the view from the neighbor's sliding doors with and without the hedge. So you're seeing the very tops of those transom windows, but I feel like it's a neighborhood with kind of tight lots, and I don't know if completely screening each other's roofs is necessarily a realistic notion, although I could certainly let those grow higher. So I guess in conclusion, I feel like the design is fair, and modest, and elegant addition to the thriving and transitioning neighborhood. I'm not a developer who's looking to turn a quick profit. This neighborhood really seems to be filled with those, but I'm a homeowner with a family who wants to add interest to the neighborhood by adding what I feel is an interesting and exciting design. But meanwhile, my design remains sensitive to my neighbors by being less intrusive and less bulky than many in the neighborhood when viewed from any angle. My design respects the setbacks of my small lot, despite many of my neighbors having been granted setback variances, and the restriction of any glazing over 8 feet in all but one area at the center of my lot benefits and respects the privacy of all my neighbors. And I feel without question that this house will add value to the neighborhood. Looking around at other projects that have been approved, I feel like I'm smaller, shorter, and less invasive than most, if not all, of recently approved projects. So I hope you're in agreement with this statement and look forward to your comments. And thank you for your consideration.
Open it up to public comment. Anyone? Nope. All right, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board.
I just put a mint in my mouth for this. They're going to stop me from talking. So I visited the site, I guess it's the third time, because I think this is the third time we've heard this, right? And you know, what started out as being something that to me was a bit much and didn't, you know, fit proportionally with what I felt, you know, the constraints of the lot were and the sensitivities of the neighborhood were. You know, obviously I think the second hearing was kind of a modest iterative step that, you know, was clearly getting us in the right direction. And in having visited the site again, you know, to me, I think that it works, and the fact that, you know, the story pulls her up, and yet, you know, none of the neighbors we've heard from previously are here to object to it. And in fact, I think one sent a letter of support. I think, you know, demonstrates fairly subjectively that you know, those concerns have been satisfied. The only concern I had when I first saw, you know, what remained of the glazing was the eastward facing glazing, just because it is, you know, a lot of height. But it is the middle of the property, and then I saw the landscape plan, and I saw the podocarpus that was proposed, and, you know, that is something that, you know, takes a lot of irrigation, but it fills in fast and it grows, you know, usually a solid 10 feet, it seems like, around town. So I think that's a great choice for just absolutely screening that. I don't think there's a better screening plant there. You know, and I think that compares to, if I remember, some potted citrus a few iterations ago. That so to me, this is very much what I was hoping for and had in mind when, you know, when waiting for this one to come back. I think that the height works. I think that the reduction in glazing works. And I think that the screening for wet glazing remain works. So, you know, I really think the architect did a great job responding to the direction we gave. And this, to me, is, you know, something that I am fully supportive of as proposed.
I am too, mostly. I just have one question. I don't know if we asked if you could question the architect. No, I forgot. Anyway, I was wondering, when you show finish grade on the east elevation in particular, because I was
right.
in the backyard, and there's a deck.
Right. Yeah.
So the finish grade is at 500 and a half, basically. That doesn't, where is the deck compared to that?
Right, okay, so the I think the easiest way to explain this is the existing finished floor, it's essentially just a slab. The existing slab is 6 inches above the current grade. So my plan, unless it's found that I need to just cost-wise need to redo the entire slab, which I may, at which point I will lower it. My plan is to essentially do my insulation and my build-up on top of that level. So that's why the finished floor is 9 inches high. 9 inches above grade, about 3 inches higher than the existing slab. So that deck is all going away. That's actually why.
So basically your finish grade is going to be about the same height as where the deck is?
No, the finish grade is, I'm going to remove the deck and it'll be down at the point of the kind of existing grade.
Yeah, I think what Linda's trying to ask is, what is the relation, we forgot the letter.
Right.
What is the relationship between the deck and the existing slab?
It's about, I would say that it's probably, I would say it's maybe an inch. I mean, it looks like it's 2x6s or 4x6s with inch and a half decking on top of it. So it's probably 6 inches roughly above grade. So it's probably about even to the slab, the existing slab.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, I agree with what Michael said, and the architect did make a good faith effort to address most of our concerns. Okay, yeah, I agree with both of you. I think the architect did do a good job of addressing our concerns, and it's reasonable. As Michael said, my only concern when I went out there was the height of those windows on that east side, and you know, I think the allowing that room to have a little drama with some glass, all of the new ones doing that, and bringing that one height just to that center line down the middle, I think did wonders for it. My only real concern with the windows now is that, you know, they're going to have probably recessed lights in that ceiling. And when you're sitting, the other site's a little bit lower, and you're looking up through those transom glass, you're going to see spots of lights. It's not going to be just a little glow
the roof, like if we were to draw a diagram, you may have drawn a diagram, but I would have thought that the angle of the roof is actually not severe enough.
It wouldn't be the ones, you know, directly. It'd be like the back half of the house, so they're quite far away. But that was my only concern, and I think.
Yeah, I kind of feel there has to be give and take,
yeah,
with the screening. I appreciate the landscape.
Yeah, I do too. I think that'll work.
Work itself out between the neighbors. They can design on a height.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Regarding. And the proposal is exempt from CEQA, and that we approve it as presented.
Subject to the attached conditions of approval. Seconded?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Thanks. Do you want your extra sets of plans? We're just gonna recycle them if you have any use for them. He's got, they've got them on file. Plenty, I'm sure. Thanks.
All right, next is 77 East View Avenue.
My name is Michael Heckman. I'm the architect for this project on East View. I'm here with the owner, Trent McGee, and his daughter, Ashley. And so we're looking forward to presenting our project to you tonight. We've started with a design concept that is meant to be a clean, uncluttered version of a kind of traditional style. That's what I had in mind. So it includes horizontal lap siding, contrasting door and window trim, and a medium gray composition shingle roof. A few elements of detail will evoke a craftsman style character, but we wanted to look a little more contemporary, and in doing so have used expansive doors to the decks, modest-sized windows to the east for light and air, glass guardrails, and we wanted to be sure that we had some exposure to the diagonal view to Angel Island and the Tiburon waterfront. So I do have a site plan here, and I'll go into more detail about the view angle, which is not only relevant to our property, but also to the neighbor 81 Eastview. And then I've got the area plan, so you can see the relationship with the various neighbors. The proposed residence would expand the existing three-story residence to both sides. And for our reference purposes, we've considered that the street runs north and south, basically. So the street is to the west, and downtown is to the east. Because it does run diagonally through the property, we needed some convention that made a little more sense. So we would expand this existing 19-foot square box, which you see on the site today, at street level to both sides. It would also expand the lower two levels, and they would fill that space below that level of the residence that we've created on both sides from the middle box. The scheme creates a somewhat vertical shape that allows all floors to share the framing structures and foundations all the way down three levels. The upper floor at street level includes the main entrance leading into a great room of living, dining, and kitchen at the center of the building, and the south side of the property, which is sort of diagonally toward Angel Island and toward downtown. On the north side, we positioned a two-car garage, which connects to the living space through the kitchen. All levels are connected by a stacked stair system in the southwest corner next to the street, so it doesn't obstruct the views, which are mainly to the south and the east. The next middle level includes the master suite and an additional bedroom suite and a few utility spaces, and then the lowest level accommodates two additional bedroom suites. We kept the residence separated from 75 Eastview to the south by a generous distance of about 17 feet. That's somewhat more than the two standard setbacks for this zone of 8 feet, which would be 16 feet. And I've left a number of emails and voicemails for the owner, David Sparks, who I just met tonight. So hopefully we'll have a chance to meet and talk in a little bit more detail in the future. But we have talked on the phone a couple of times and exchanged a number of emails. We just could not arrange a meeting to go over any impacts that might be on his home. There are a few comments that he's made in his letter, but I think in general we've responded positively to any issues that exist between the two properties. We do have a sizable distance between the two buildings, and there was one comment about our stair that runs down next to the proposed residence, which is actually required for access and for safety personnel. But I don't know all the details of his interior layout since we were not able to arrange a meeting in his home. We also kept the new structure separated from 81 Eastview to the north by the normal setback of 8 feet from the property line. This provides a good width of about 10 feet between the two structures. And this is slightly more, just as a point of reference, than the existing distance between the residences at 81 and 83. So here's 81, which is the Welter House, and 83, which is just the next one up the street to the north. The distance between those two buildings is about 9 feet. So we have 8 feet now between our proposal and number 81. So evidently that separation is something that exists in the neighborhood. I think the neighbors have become accustomed to it, and is a reasonable separation between two structures on this street. We have also designed the garage roof so that it slopes down to the property at 81 Eastview. And that's the lowest part of the roof over the garage. So that way it would allow the maximum amount of light and air to the property at 81 Eastview. We also maintained the view angle from the main decks and forward windows of 81 Eastview. And we've utilized the survey data to determine some of these criteria. And I could show you that now. If you look on the survey, not our site plan, but on the survey, he's indicated a couple of lines. One reference is to the Caprice, and the other one is to the peak of Angel Island. So those two points and the angles they create are about 15 degrees from the geometry of our house through a point of about 30 degrees. And so when we looked at the property at 81 Eastview and assumed that we've got a window here of about 5 feet, we know that all the decks and the spaces that are on the leading edge of the house to the east will have a perfectly open view. And we wanted to be sure that we allowed these windows on the corner to maintain the view and the outlook that they had. So this is the angle, which is about the 15 degrees that I mentioned. So that sweep covers the Caprice all the way to the peak of Angel Island. And so you can see that anything that we have planned here is outside of that angle. And that was part of the criteria to be sure that we did maintain the outlook from all levels of that part of the house. So when I went to talk with Ken recently, we had a very short meeting about a month ago. But the only opportunity that we had to meet and walk his house was actually yesterday. And so from that meeting, I had some notes that indicated which rooms were of most significance. The middle level is the living level of their house. So there's a generous window as well as a very large picture window to the east from that room. And then the top floor is the master bedroom. And there are some rooms on the lower level. We didn't actually go down to that level. So I think they may be secondary to the middle and the top floor of the house, which I think are the main outlook view rooms from this property. We've kept it separated enough, I think, that they are allowed to get the light and air that's necessary. We've also designed the garage so that we can maintain a certain access separation from the street. We're not right on the property line at the front of the garage structure, but we did want to make sure that it was adequate enough so that we could pull into the garage. We also maintain that same view angle from all of these windows, which and also from the main deck on the east side of 81 Eastview. The rooms which are farther to the back of the house, I don't know all the details of those spaces, but they certainly are not the primary living areas that are referred to in the design review guidelines, Principle 7. So the views of the windows and the rooms at the very back of the house, there are some windows back in this area here. They're about 20 feet back from the corner. By virtue of the definition in the design review guidelines, these are not primary living spaces, and so the views are not necessarily protected. They've enjoyed these views across the property at 77 Eastview for many years, more so the owner before them, but these views are shared views. And so I think, as mentioned in the Principle 8 in the Design Review Guidelines, these are across what was mostly a vacant lot. I've only seen the outlook from the top and middle levels of the Welter House, and I believe the lower level may not be quite as critical as the top two floors. I have photos of the various properties that so you have some sense of what the context is. And you can see that I've preserved all the critical views of these properties, as I've noted in the diagram here. So I wanted to pass along some photographs. They just show the context of this property in its neighborhood. Is of the Welter property. You can see the big show window that runs vertically between the middle floor living room and the upper floor master bedroom. And then the series of windows on the corner, which we preserved by the angle that I've noted there on the site plan. The lower photo there is also of the property at 77 Eastview. So you can kind of see the scale of it. These are from the same camera and same distance. The second page is number 75, which is Mr. Sparks' house. And it's a fairly substantial residence, too, the scale of which is similar to what we're proposing. The last one is number 83 on the second page, which is a somewhat lower house, but has a lot of square footage. And I'll get into more detail about that, because I do have a graph of square footage and FAR. Then on the final pages, you can see the story poles for number 85, which is still being considered by this board, which is clearly a very small property. So the floor area of that structure, as it's proposed, is much smaller as well. And then the last photo on the bottom shows the distance between number 81 and number 83. And that's what I was alluding to about the distance between us and the Welters. It's very much the same as the distance between them and their neighbor on the north side. I do have more information about all these various properties and the FAR. There was a notation with floor areas from the Marin County Assessor's records. All I did was add the lot area and also the FAR. So I'd like you to look at that now so you can get some kind of comparison about what the neighborhood situation is like. So as you look at the column on the left, that's the FAR, the function of the floor area versus the property area, which you review on just about every project. Our project, which is in the middle there, is 59%. That's the FAR. You can see various other properties are somewhat lower. Some are quite a bit higher. For some reason, the property at 83 is 135%, which is phenomenal to me that it's got an FAR of that scale. Also, I think notable is that the Welter property is 66%, so it actually has a higher FAR than what we're proposing for our property. So in terms of density and scale of living space relative to the property size, I think we've come up with a good median of what is appropriate for this neighborhood. I mean, you can just see graphically that this property is pretty sizable compared to all of its neighbors.
So I think we've done a good job in terms of what the FAR would allow us to do typically. And I hope that you'll agree that this is an appropriate design and residence for this neighborhood. I did communicate, of course, with the owners of number 81 and 75 and started that communication in early August. And as I mentioned, I was only able to meet with the Welters once. And I was awaiting for the planning department to be sure that I had a complete set that was approved by them as complete. And the story polls went up. The travel scheduled by the Welters did not allow us to meet. And I was only able to meet with Ken Welter yesterday. I did provide them with plans in early September. The story poles were erected on October 6th. Mr. Welter has some concerns about the survey, which I'm sure he'll delineate. But I'm confident that the survey, which is done by ILS Associates, this is a firm that's been in Marin County for well over 30 years, and is highly regarded for accuracy and quality. We're sure that that's an accurate survey. So it shows that there's a small platform that the Welters have used for their trash receptacles for a number of years. So our plan is that that receptacle, which currently sits off Story Pole 6, the corner of our garage, we would remove that and rebuild another trash enclosure at our own expense to replace that platform that needs to be removed so that we can access our garage. We're hopeful you'll vote for an approval on the project. We've been respectful of the two neighbors. Their primary views and privacy have been preserved by this design. We look forward to replacing this existing dilapidated old house with a much improved residence that's an asset to the neighborhood. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
So you're saying that the wood deck, not the wood deck for the trash enclosure, but the other wood deck is over onto the 77?
There's a small wood deck right next to, I think it's an acacia tree. Are you looking at the survey? Oh, no, not that deck. I'm talking about this deck.
What about this deck? Can you tell me why that is on your property?
Oh, no, I don't know. It's kind of, it's a deck that has is of no consequence to Clinton Yee, but, you know, it may be part of...
It raises questions to me, Michael, about where the property line really is.
Yeah, that's why we had it surveyed. I have the boundary survey that's been...
I'm realizing that there's difference between boundary surveys and
topographic survey. Absolutely, yeah.
So
yeah. The boundary survey has been recorded with the county, so it'll be an official recorded survey. They have not yet received confirmation from the county that it's recorded, but these... This is the content of what they filed.
Michael, the topo that's page two, is that's extracted from the certified survey, I take it?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. We received a base document from ILS Associates, and our entire design was based on their documentation. So while the neighbors have always referred to it as just a topographic survey, the boundary lines and all the meets and bounds that are indicated there are a perfect representation of what was actually filed with the county.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Are there any other questions? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hi, Ken Welter, 81 Eastview, owner with my wife, Andrina. In relation to the filing with the county, we haven't been made aware of any filing with the county. We've requested the boundary survey a number of times to the city, directly to Michael Heckman, and it has not been provided until last night. It's dated June 17th, so we're surprised that we're just receiving it. It seems a bit odd. So we'll talk more about that, but I think, can you put the slides up? Lot coverage, as I calculated it, based on the Marin County Assessor records, is 45% in our neighborhood, the entire neighborhood. And our home was remodeled, as we understand it, was built off the same exact footprint that exists today. And the setback was 8 feet, as we understood it when the surveys we received, or whatever we received. Landon and Charlie are at home sleeping right now. Otherwise, they'd be here with us. A little bit of a joke, sorry. they could probably fix it. As it relates to the design is vertical mass. It's large. It is vertical, and it doesn't. It's somewhat plain, as I looked at it. We wanted to point out the middle level is our main living area. All our southern windows effectively align vertically. So as you look at the top level, this window is the easternmost window. In the middle level, there's a window directly above it, a window directly below it. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. So here we're just showing what the deck is going to do to the middle level view, taking out our view completely, and that's only to the height of the railing. It's going to be glass, but the glass will have furniture, I would assume, and in the morning it's always going to be frosted over, like Ulrich so far, frosted over in the morning, even though they're clear glass. Okay, next slide. This is the middle level main living area as well. This is our view. This is our new shadow end view. It's going to be completely blacking out the middle level western windows. So these windows are the one you saw before. It was western, eastern. This is western towards the street.
Can I ask a question quickly? What rooms are these? You're saying main living?
The main, middle level main living.
Is it the living room, kitchen, dining room, bedroom? What is it?
One room that's kitchen, dining.
Okay. Thank you.
One level. Next slide, please. This is our master bedroom. As you can see, the deck looks right. I'm trying to talk into the microphone because I know we're supposed to. You can see the middle, the deck will be right here. That's like, I think, 42 inches high, which will be looking right into our master suite. And you can see the impact of the extension towards the east of the home right here. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Okay, same slide. This is the upper level bedroom, which is directly above the main living area. This window is slightly smaller than the main living area. And you can see the sunrise that we have currently, and the sunrise we'll have prospectively, based on the proposal. Next slide, please. There we go. This is the lower level
western window. I'm sorry, this is, oh right, this is the western window, which is directly below the main living area. That's the view and the shadow created by the new home. Next slide, please. And this is the lower level new shadow created by the home as well. The setback variance is, as Michael has stated, based on their boundary survey. He's indicating they're 8 feet off this area here, which is the deck I think the board was referring to. We dispute the surveyor's findings, because it'd be surprising that for 50 years that someone respected a boundary that did not exist. There is a lot of history to indicate that it'd be surprising if that was right. Next slide, please. The landscaping is completely overgrown, and there's no plan for landscaping that we've seen other than taking out trees to build the vertical bulk that they're proposing. Next slide. Next slide, please. So I think our view is 7072 is too large for the neighborhood, particularly including the large garage decks and hillside storage created by the slope of the hill. It's a vertical bulk mass that's damaged lights, views, and privacy, and doesn't, in our opinion, respect setbacks. Storage poles don't appear accurate because the main ridge that runs from the garage to the, I guess, the east-west peak of the roof doesn't appear to be there, and their overhangs don't appear to be shown, and it's not clear that they're accurate. And I think the last point we've already talked about, the survey. Sorry, my phone locks itself every few seconds. I did talk to Michael about moving things towards the street to reduce impacts. He said he would talk to Clinton about this. It's interestingly, I think Michael was indicating this first time he's met David. This is the first time we're seeing Clinton. And I'll, you want to go?
I'll make it quick. Hello, hi, I'm Andrina Welter, I'm Ken's wife. We definitely have big concerns over the project proposed at 77 Eastview. We pretty much fell in love with our house and purchased it purely for the views. It's a beautiful home. I was glad that we didn't have to completely remodel it like our last house. But walking through it, the views are breathtaking. So thinking about even losing them in any of the bedrooms is really just, you know, something that's absolutely keeping me up at night. Lost a few pounds, so thank you for that. That was a good joke, Steve. I guess one of the main concerns, though, is really the plan is for this huge house, doubling in size, adding on a garage. Right now it doesn't even currently have a garage. Corinthian Island, most of these houses are pretty small, so ours may seem big on the hillside, and I know that they presented how big it looked. It does, and that's something to think about. So our home is just over 2,500 square feet with a 400 square foot garage. I think it might be 410 or 420 square feet, and that's, you know, that's the size of our home, and it looks big. It does. It looks big on that hillside. So if theirs is going to be, 3,150 with a 420 square foot garage, it's almost 3,500 square feet, it's going to look monstrous on that hillside. So the fact is that all we really want is a code legal home. I mean, we want a home that isn't on top of ours. We want a home that when we're looking out the windows, that I know that he's saying that these are shared views. They're not. I purchased those views. I mean, I picked this house for those views. I never would have picked this house otherwise. We don't have a yard for our children. We selfishly picked this home for these beautiful views, knowing that one day they'd go off and, you know, they'll be moving and living their lives, right? But we're still going to be here. So I understand their need to want to build a larger home, although I'd like them to be a little bit more realistic with the size and to fit it into the community. So I think that, I know Michael said that he has reached out to us. We met with him in early August, very beginning of August. We expressed to him our concerns at that meeting, saying, hey, those windows are definitely going to block those views. You know, we were a little disappointed that they didn't reach out to us when they first purchased the home. We let the realtors know, and they absolutely told us, they let all their buyers know, come and speak to us if you're deciding to buy this home. We'll bring you in your house so we can show you the views, and we'll tell you what we'll be okay with, right? And then you know if you want to purchase this home or not, right? But Clinton has yet to come over at all. We're barely meeting him tonight. So when we met with Michael in August, we let him know our concerns. He was well aware of them, and he told us to wait till the story polls went up. So I know he's saying, hey, we haven't met again. Well, you told us to wait till the story polls come up. Within that time, I found the survey, and I, after looking at the plans, realized that they're saying they're on top of our property. Obviously, I freaked out, and I was at the town of Tiburon multiple days, meeting with all them, reading all these plans, trying to figure it out. So I'm well aware of all of the maps. I've looked them all over. I right away contacted David Holscher. He was our previous architect, to sort of chat with him so he'd give me advice. I contacted Larry Doyle, who did the survey down the street, just so, like, I wanted to get my own survey. Larry said, well, until you have a copy of that survey, I need to kind of see what we're looking at. Then we can get you and we can figure this out, right? Well, I kept requesting the survey. I emailed several times, and he completely ignored my emails. I'd be like, I want a bigger copy of the plans, and I want the survey. Sure, I'll get those plans to you soon. Ignore the survey request. So I'm just, you know, we asked for the survey. We finally got it last night. And now, you know, I definitely want to get our own opinion. I want to have another opinion from another surveyor who's worked in the area and knows. Because our home, the original home, was built in 1969. And our home, where it is today, was put on the same footprint of the house that was there before. So they used all the existing markers. You know, our house matches the assessor's map. It matches the GIS map. You know, everything else links. Our deed is not like the one down the street where they were going, speaking to different years. Our deed speaks to 1906, like all the other homes. So there isn't, you know, this discrepancy there. We don't have an excerpt in our deed saying that part of the land belongs to them and whatever. So there isn't, you know, what happened down the street. So we definitely want to be able to have some time to get our own survey and see what's going on here, because the reality is they're basing their setback, which is ridiculously close to our house, and they're claiming property. They're actually claiming the part of our house that they say is there. They're claiming it, and they're putting it in their square footage. But I disagree with that. That's still my home. Like, we have not decided if this is your land. So I definitely want to have time to figure that out. It's something that's absolutely kept me up at night for the last few months. So regarding that, and I think that one of the main things that I said was that our house is put on the same footprint of the home that was there before. So I understand he's saying, well, these houses are so close on that side, and we're trying not to block views there. Well, our home was put in the same spot, and so it didn't change the view of the next door neighbor. Their view already wasn't there. So you're trying to maximize your views. You're trying to get that angle so you have amazing views. But in doing so, you're breaking, you know, you're completely blocking several windows of my home. And the reality is, you know, I have several, my real estate agent, Tracy McLaughlin, who sold our home, they sent in letters saying, like, how detrimental on Corinthian Island is to lose any views, because it's just hundreds of thousands of dollars lost on your home value. I mean, it's literally keeping me up at night because it really is, you know, scary. Anyhow, thank you. I appreciate it. I think I got it all out.
Hi, my name is Oric, and I'm in 83 Eastview. So I'm here not so much to sort of like object to this particular design, just to talk a little bit about the process, because we've just been through like a very similar situation with our neighbor, 85 Eastview, and after many deliberations, it turned out that 40% of the proposed design was built on someone else's land. So I just want to like reiterate that I think it would be prudent to take a little bit of time now to really understand what is the lay of the land here, what does the survey actually say, so we don't end up getting ourselves into a situation where we end up building stuff that isn't someone else's land. That's one comment. I think two other comments. It appears to me that the design that's proposed is very plain. Like, there's not a lot of sort of terracing and hillside guidelines incorporation in that design. And I think that might not be ideal. I also think that it hasn't really like moved the house close enough to the hill, just like, which turns out 85 Eastview. It's like we live very close, views are very priced. Let's use the real estate there is close to the road because no one cares about that, as opposed to like pushing the homes out into the view of the neighbors. So those are just like two comments that I would like to make. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Dave Sparks. I am the owner of 75 Eastview, and I'll definitely keep this short. I think it's really more about themes tonight that I'm hoping we can focus on from my perspective, in that I purchased the home that, as many of you who have probably spent years in Marin know, that an architect designed my place, a guy named Joe Drosheen. And the Drosheen homes are, I think, prized by those of us who appreciate his architecture, and I think there's a number of them there on Corinthian, and I think that's part of what makes Corinthian so unique. And to, you know, Michael's earlier comment about probably not understanding the architecture that Joe put up there, I think that's definitely a valid comment, in that there are multiple levels to my home. It's relatively small, it's 1,752 square feet, but it spans five different levels. It takes me 83 stairs to get down from the road to my front door. So you have to work to live in a Drosheen home. I think it's well worth it. I love the home. It really is my forever home. But I think what I need to impart to the board tonight is that as a result of this type of home being built in 75, having such unique character, being in such a unique location, I think that it's imperative to really consider the impact of anything new being added to the neighborhood. And I think there's a lot about the neighborhood that is good, and I think that any new residents of the neighborhood will definitely enjoy it. But I think what we have to do is not put something there that has such an impact that it destroys the architecture and the artistry that's been there for 51 years at this point. So I think, just factually speaking, some of the things I heard tonight were that, you know, my home has a substantial presence very similar to that being proposed. Well, I can't mathematically compare 1752 to almost 3,500. I think just factually we have an issue there. I think that the comment about being appropriate to this neighborhood, that really is my primary concern. I do agree, and I think that I was very much anticipating favorable development about this, and I think there will be in the end, but I think that the condition of the existing property really does need to be remedied. I think that it does represent potential concerns from a safety perspective that need to be addressed, but I think they need to be addressed in a way that is respectful of the existing surroundings and one that continues to enhance our neighborhood, because I think it's a really unique place. I think, as this turnout shows this afternoon, we all are fiercely loyal to Corinthian, and I just like to convey that anything we can do to help the process, we're here to do, but we have to make sure that we don't have something that takes away what we already have. Thanks very much.
I think we've got a great project here. I mean, I look at these elevations, and I think that they're pretty well articulated. There's a lot of interest in that, from vertically, horizontally, the window layout. We're not going to do a Drosheen knockoff, that's for sure. We're just going to do a nice, straightforward home with some traditional themes, but I think it'll be a great asset to the neighborhood. So then there's a couple of other things I want to mention. There's no subterfuge going on here. When the Welters asked me about the survey, this is a survey. They never said the boundary survey. And that's the god-awful truth. And I just found out just a few days ago that that's exactly what they needed. And
I contacted the surveyor, and I found the documentation that I presented to Mr. Wells yesterday. So that's actually a fact. Yeah. Well, okay, it's your opinion. But we use this as a survey, and that's the terminology that is in our office and has been since I've been working for 40 years. So the only other comment I have to make is that I think Mrs. Welter said we bought these views. And I'm not aware of a view corridor that's been recorded that they control views across our property. They are shared views. And a lot of the views that they say that are completely blocked are from bedrooms. So they are secondary rooms. So I did mention the planning and zoning regulations about primary rooms being the most important. We've kept the views from the primary rooms preserved, and we've maintained as much light and ventilation as is typical for this neighborhood. The survey issue, I think, I can't, you know, exactly respond to how it might get resolved, but if there was an issue with the survey that we were working with and the topography that we were working with, I think they became aware of it a month ago and have not had any other survey work to verify either their situation or ours. So there's no other questions.
Well, I couldn't figure out, you know, this main ridge line here? I couldn't see a story pole that matched, that went across on this main ridge line. Are those story poles correct?
Yeah, I don't think they put one on the corner. It's on the north side of the...
Right. They want to parallel the street. We didn't put a string up. And we don't show a story pole at that corner.
At the top of that ridge.
Right. We could certainly do that. I mean, we filed it, and I think the planning staff thought it was appropriate for the planning building. So, yeah. I'm happy to show something in that location if you feel like it's necessary.
No, we were just trying to figure out the story poles.
Okay. There isn't a lot of trees.
There's one there, and that's why I asked.
And a fair number of the trees actually are eliminated to allow the house to be built. So I think that's a positive for the neighbors as well.
Okay.
All right, great. Thank you.
Well, I think this kind of says it all. I mean, it is the biggest house in the neighborhood. It is on one of the largest lots, but the other largest lot has a 2,800 square foot house, and you're proposing a 3,100 square foot house plus the garage, which I think brings it up to something close to 3,500, 3,400. I just think it's too big for the lot, and I'm worried that people built a house in the 70s, and they have a recorded map that they say is different than your recorded map. So something is going to have to be figured out before anything is approved, because unless their recorded map matches your recorded map, I can't make a fruitful or well-informed decision. I can't make a well-informed decision without knowing where the boundaries are. You say it's one place and they say it's another place, so I'm not going to make the decision. I'm in no place to make the decision. What I can tell you is that I think the house is too big for the lot. I think it's too big for the neighborhood. I am un- underwhelmed by the I guess particularly the east elevation. I love Craftsman Homes. Maybe if it was, I don't know, I'm not going to design it for you, but I just don't, it was underwhelming to me, the design. And it's too big. And that's it in a nutshell, and I really can't go any further except to say it's, I think it's way too big for the lot, and I can't make any decision until I know where the property lines are. And you guys agree, or somebody agrees, the surveyors agree.
I agree with a lot of what Linda said. You know, I think, to me, I think, you know, the first topic should be the views. And that's primarily from 81. I visited 75. I was unable to get access to the property, but I did visit the Walter property and saw the views and the blockage. And, you know, it is true that, you know, these are generally secondary views, you know, a lot of them from bedrooms. You know, there's the one from kind of the living room space that is, at least on the, call it the project, eastern window, you know, less impactful, whereas the western window, as you go, you know, into the hillside, if you will, obviously gets more significant. But to me, it's and it's not that they're unprotected, it's that they're, you know, less protected, if you will, in the hillside guidelines. And, you know, to me, it's just, there's just so many impacts that just collectively add up to just being, I think it's too impactful. I think a lot of it is the closeness of the proposed development being approximately, I guess it's like 10 feet away.
We don't know what it is because we don't know where the property line is.
Well, what's just from the existing Walter home at 81 to the proposed wall of the home at 77, I think is about 10 feet because it's, I guess the Walter's built up to about 2 feet maybe, and then they're proposing 8 feet to go right up to the setback on the other side. So it's really close, and to me, you know, all those western windows really made it resemble kind of a light well, you know, from, you know, New York City apartments or something, you know, and that would be, to me, A, it'd be really unfortunate, but B, it's to me, it's just, it's really impactful. And to me, all that really comes down to is that this is something that staff very astutely noted, and I had the same feeling, is that the house is just really, really wide. And to go, you know, I mean, usually you go setback to setback, but what's proposed is to go to, from setback to, you know, a variance into a setback on the other side. So, you know, the width of the proposed home to me is what doesn't really correlate. When I first saw the story poles from, you know, the downtown side, I thought, oh, well, this looks easy. It just looks like, you know, it's about the outline of the red house. Well, half the story poles are obscured by the overgrown vegetation. So then you get up on East View and you see what the width that's proposed, and it's really, really wide. So to me, I think that, you know, the pattern of development for the neighborhood and clearly the adjacent homes is to, you know, have a bit of a narrower home. I mean, you know, whether the Welter home looks big or not, when you look at it from straight downhill, it's not wide. It's fairly narrow. And then when you look at this home, it's kind of like the Welter home plus another half or plus another third or something like that. So in terms of, you know, proportionality, I appreciate that it's a larger lot. But at the same time, I don't think that all that extra square footage, you know, should be squeezed into making it wider. To me, if there's going to be more square footage, it should be, you know, that it at a lower level that kind of steps down hillside guideline style, and be brought a little further down the property, a little bit like what's being proposed over at 85 Eastview in the vacant lot. So aside from that, of the impacts that were there, aside from view blockage, the other thing that was just really concerning to me is the master bedroom at 81 is really severely impacted by a proposed deck that's going to be there right outside. It's the same proposed deck that would make looking out the window from the living room kind of a bummer too. And to me, the loss of privacy where, you know, anyone on the deck who's evidently at a barbecuing and looking straight ahead while flipping burgers, basically has a cross-section view of the master bedroom. So to me, that doesn't work, and that's not going to work. That just, I think there needs to be a lot more consideration of privacy, such that if there is going to be a deck, you know, at that same kind of eye level, it really needs to be brought significantly, I think, towards the eastern side of the property and be limited to that. The survey, I just think that there's a lot of sensitivity in the neighborhood. I agree that it would be really great if the neighbors could agree on what the facts are and then argue, you know, based on things other than the facts. So I would like them to have more time to basically sort out what the facts are. And if somebody wanted to bring a surveyor in here next time, that'd be great.
Would be great, yep.
And that's it. I'd also say, just noting that, you know, this is a larger lot than most of the other immediate neighbors, especially on that downhill slope. I mean, the proportion of the floor area exception to me, you know, probably shouldn't be, you know, comparable to some of the others, given the, to me, what's a fairly different lot size. Comparing it to 81, for example, 83. I mean, 83 is, I think, a lot that's like half the size. So, in any event, it's kind of hard to compare apples to apples when you're actually when you have a lot that's actually a bit larger than the comparison benchmarks. So that's all I had.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I will have to say that I think that if you're trying to maximize your coverage, I think Michael did a good job of keeping it as much out of the view as he could and still getting that kind of square footage and keeping it back, and that's why it ended up so wide, because I'm afraid if you start coming down, you're going to start blocking views. So it has to kind of be up here. But then, you know, I agree with you, Michael, there's just something, because it's so wide, its whole mass changes. And, you know, and even stepping back, I mean, this portion right in here is three stories straight up. And that's not for the hillside design guidelines, but how much can you step this back and still have something that's usable because you're getting so narrow in that direction? So that's a hard one to solve. I'm with a house this big, I'm curious as to why we even would think about encroaching on the setback here. You know, it just seems like that much of the house to have to get a variance for that just doesn't make sense to me.
And a lot that's wider than the others to begin with.
And I just think, because if this is the case over here, that this is 1'11" and that happened long time ago, that giving space in here, even though the neighboring spaces are 10 feet, some of those are the uses that aren't as prevalent as the uses as 81. And so I think that needs a little breathing space in there, and it just needs to be more in scale. I just think it's too wide. Your point about somebody standing there barbecuing and looking directly in the bedroom is also, it's just, you know, it's a shame when the uses on the different floors aren't compatible. So, but that's the case there. You know, and I, in terms of moving it back towards the road, sometimes I'm not, that would be more of as much of an engineering question on, is that really feasible? So I don't know if that would help or not, but I think looking at the views, I think making it narrower and maybe giving them time to get together and talk with each of the neighbors and see the different rooms. It is, you know, it is hard for me on the rooms on 81 that are far back. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like, well, I can build out this far, but you can't. And, you know, so there has to be some give and take. And I think it's just trying to work together, maybe giving some more space in here. there are solutions.
I agree. I mean, look, there's, I think it's reasonable to expect that there's going to be, you know, some sort of redevelopment of this property at some point, right? I mean, I would never say this is a borrowed view. I'm not sure I'm necessarily signing up for this new nomenclature of shared view either. But, you know, clearly, you know, it's reasonable to expect that, you know, the little red house that's there now is maybe not going to be there forever, and there may be a new house someday, and it will likely be bigger. So I mean, there will be some impact, for sure. But to me, it's just, this is, you know, not really a close call in saying that it's too much.
Yeah, and then I also think that we need to have a boundary survey with a civil engineer stamp.
Oh, absolutely.
Which we don't have. Right. And I don't know who does that or how many of them get,
right.
But I think we need to.
No, and it'd be great if they have a dialogue together, and if there's any unresolved facts, it'd be great to have them both here so we can ask questions.
We would recommend a continuance to the November 17th meeting. The meeting after that would be December 1st. And
12-1, going once?
Just, we'll need a permit streamlining continuance or extension to do that. So, you agree to that?
You agree?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, with respect to 77 Eastview Avenue, make a motion to continue the project to the December 1st design review board meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
I
close to the street there, and very minor impact from the neighborhood. And in fact, it might even be an improvement to the thing immensely. So we would expect to appreciate the approval.
Anyone in the public want to speak?
Okay. I just rather like, I like the idea of an open fence. I don't really like the idea of closing off that view. I think it's nice to leave things a little bit open. Vegetation would eventually grow over it. And I understand why staff sent it to us, because it's a big change from just a more open wire fence. I'd hate to see that fence somehow end up being continued around that whole property for one reason or the other. Some neighbors don't like, you know, don't want any more, whatever they don't want. But, and here we already agreed to a lattice work fence, and I kind of like the idea of just leaving it some kind of open mesh, which was originally what was proposed, rather than completely closing it off.
You know, my tendency, I think, you know, is towards the same, that, you know, as a general matter, you know, while I appreciate, you know, there's always a desire of privacy on one hand, which, you know, results in people putting up lots of, you know, 6 foot tall, you know, really solid fences around, you know, even their front yard sometimes in some neighborhoods. Yet, you know, kind of has an impact on the outside of just being a lot less appealing and visually satisfying. I guess where I'm sympathetic is that, you know, Point Tiburon in general, you know, has a pretty good buffer from the street. Like, when I first saw this project, I actually thought it was a lot closer to me, in a, you know, down near where, like, the pedestrian crosswalk goes over. And
I keep driving down.
Right. I didn't realize it was way down at Las Lomas till I checked it out. But you know, looking at all the territory you pass along the way going to Point Tiburon, you know, there's a very large buffer between the condo units and the street, where there's lots of parallel parking, you know, a lot of activity generally, probably less so down near the water treatment and all that. But, you know, at the same time, there's some commercial vehicles and commercial traffic because of the water treatment facility too. So to me, I was sympathetic to wanting to just, you know, have some sort of kind of visual barrier to help just provide some sort of sense of privacy. I'd personally love to see if, you know, some ivy or something, you know, grew over the lattice so you're just not looking at as much wood. But I am sympathetic to, you know, the desire to create some sort of buffer between the street that most of the rest of the development enjoys in the form of real estate.
Yeah, they have garages.
Well, some garages, but there's lots of, you know, acacias and live oaks and all that other stuff as you go, you know, down towards Esperanza and Beach Road. Mm-hmm. So, I'm a little more sympathetic to it. I also think that the lattice does carry over from the property design itself, because it's a material they use, and, you know, it's a little bit open, right? It's not as open as a wire fence, but, you know, the wire fence is primarily just to, you know, keep the deer discouraged and maybe hold up a little bit of vegetation, and that's probably about it. So I was okay with it. You know, I agree with you, though. It's not something I'd love to see, like, you know, ring fence the entire property. But I don't think there's going to be, I don't think there's a real basis for it for the rest of the property.
You know, I initially agreed with Linda that, you know, I prefer the open fence and let it become green, grow. You know, if you do some kind of black mesh in there, it tends to disappear, and it's not such a statement. But realizing after we drove around and looking at the site plan and why they want it just in this area, there is no residential on the other side. This is the only spot that the units back up so close to Mar West. The rest are, it's all garages. So I feel I can understand that. I kind of have a question for staff. If we were to approve the lattice one here, and later they came back and wanted to put the lattice fence somewhere else, would you approve that over the counter just because we made this decision?
Because of our previous approval.
I don't want to set a precedent. Yeah. I'm saying I wouldn't want to see this around the whole property.
Not necessarily, and the minutes are going to reflect in that conversation.
Regarding 1900 to 1916 Mar West Street, I find that the project is categorically exempt from CEQA. I make a motion that we approve it as presented with the conditions of approval.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passes. Have a chance to look over the minutes?
Yep.
Just kind of jealous I missed a relatively short meeting.
Okay. I make a motion that we approve the minutes of the October 6th Tiburon Design Review Board as presented.
Second?
I will second it even though I wasn't even there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.